Hello and welcome to another one of Member Solutions Teleseminars. For those of you that are listening, thank you for supporting events like these and for taking the time to improve your life. Just like a prospective student coming into your school for the first time, this is the first step of success in your progress or process. Remember, even though you're taking the time now to listen to this call, the only way that it won't be a waste of time for you is if you utilize the material. And before we move on to our actual teleseminar topic, I like to, you know, really kind of do some sort of esoteric and spiritual kind of self-motivational type stuff that I like to do. And this is why people fail. I want to talk a little bit about that because it's very important for us to realize as business owners and school owners why we fail. So I'm going to list five of the biggest mistakes that I believe martial arts school owners slash business owners make. And I'm going to first list them. Maybe you want to write them down. Then I'll break them down a little bit to clarify what I'm talking about so that maybe you can overcome some of the obstacles that you may have if you fit into any of these categories. Number one, I feel like Johnny Carson or Jay Leno or David Letterman. Number one, the countdown is not taking your education seriously. Number one, not taking your education seriously. Number two, having an education and not utilizing it. Not utilizing it in your life, taking your education and putting it into play. Number three, waiting around for things to happen rather than making them happen. Four, not realizing your potential. This is a big one. Number four, not realizing your potential. And five, lack of energy. So number one, not taking your education seriously. This is simple. For many school owners, you have become an instructor for a myriad of different reasons. And most of them, all wrong, I would say. I know that happened with me. For example, the majority of people that I've consulted with that run martial arts schools, or people that I've hired to run martial arts schools for me, they never saw the potential in themselves. And I recognized that, and I realized that they had potential, and I brought it to their attention. Never in a million years did they ever think that they could be running a martial arts school. Once they became proficient at the martial arts, the physical side, they were able to then somehow see why becoming an instructor, a teacher, was something that appealed to them. For other people, maybe like yourself, who is a school owner, you may have seen your instructor doing it, or maybe they recognize the potential in you like I do in my students, and then they presented you with the opportunity. Or, for the majority of teachers, you became a teacher and somehow maybe you didn't like what was going on within your system, or you broke off from your instructor, or you decided to go out on your own because you thought you could make it better, or students maybe approached you and said, "You're a dynamic teacher, why don't you teach?" No matter what the reason, you're now running a martial arts school. And for the majority of school owners, and I'm saying this without insulting people, we don't really have the education, and I say we because I started off the same way, we don't really have the education and the experience to be running a school. I believe, and for example, just so no one is insulted, like most business owners, whether it be martial art, it could be the local deli guy or whatever, like most business owners, they open up without a sound business plan. They don't have the experience of marketing and system knowledge that's necessary to run the business. Sadly enough, these people end up closing their business down. The most important thing for you to remember for this comment of not taking your education seriously is that you should always be continually educating yourselves to higher levels in any category. If you want and you find that you're weak in marketing, you should go to seminars. There are local seminars. You should read books, get videos, listen to audio tapes. If you feel you're in need of system education, do the same for that category. Remember, and I'm tooting my own horn a little bit, a great source of education, systemization, and ideas is my Taking It to the Next Level program. This is your one source for consulting needs, and there are, you know, many out there, you know, and I want to say hint, hint, you know, next level is the way to go, but you just have to educate yourself. You can't get caught up in the everyday function of running your business and not bringing yourself forward every single day. I have a quote that I made. I like the quote, and it's basically that you should only have one goal in life, and that goal is to accomplish as many goals as you possibly can, okay? The next thing is having an education and not utilizing it. This one sometimes is the most shocking to me. There are so many educated, experienced, and motivated martial art instructors and business owners in the world, yet 50% of them fail within the first 2 years. In the book, Cash Flow Quadrants by Rob Kiyosaki, which I highly recommend, Rob Kiyosaki wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Cashflow Quadrants was phenomenal. He talks about the four categories of an employee, and I've spoken about this a number of times. It's as if you were to draw a plus sign on a piece of paper, and you have the four squares, the four quadrants. The upper left-hand corner would be being an employee. That means that you're working as an employee for a company. The bottom left-hand corner, the second category, a second quadrant, is being self-employed. Basically, this is no different except you employ yourself. The only thing is sometimes that it's more dangerous because as an employee, you don't call the shots. Your boss does or your management does. But as a self-employed person, you decide when you go into work, when you don't go into work, when you take vacation, when you want to just pass up on a task or a skill. You can be your own worst enemy. The last two categories is up on the upper right-hand corner, which is basically business owner, and then the bottom right-hand corner, which is an investor. These are the two most important categories that you want to be in, running your business, not having the business run you, and then jumping in and out of that category of business owner to investor, investing in alternate sources of passive income. Most people are usually caught up in the self-employed area, and where each and every day they work and they go home and they do it all. They basically employ themselves, and they never step out of that category. They basically have a hard time closing their business down to take a vacation. They don't have the staff. They don't have the people. They don't have the wherewithal. So my goal for you is to teach you how to jump into the business category, being a business owner, making your business make money and run itself by having the right people, and jumping into the investor category, maybe investing in real estate or other businesses or other stocks or whatever the case may be. Most of the time, people don't make that jump from self-employed to business owner because they don't want to hire employees. They consider it too costly, or they don't trust them, or they don't feel that they're ready. This, of course, is an entirely different topic or teleseminar in itself that we'll probably do in future months. The next thing is waiting around for things to happen. Now, let me just also say, don't hang up the phone because I haven't gotten into summer camp topic, but I want you to know that this is part of it. So next is waiting around for things to happen. If I had a dollar for every business that I consulted of people who told me that their daily agenda and their routine and a host of other excuses of whys and how comes they can't do this or that, I'd be retired by now. For example, I may ask why a school owner is not advertising. A school owner may say to me that they don't have the money. I then might give them 5 or 10 different grassroots, very inexpensive costs or ideas, and still they don't do anything. I basically call this the garage band mentality. And for many of you, you probably don't know. Kathy does because she circulated the picture, I believe, at the last Maya Super Show of when I was in a rock band. I was a performing musician for my entire life. I started at the age of maybe 6 years old, started playing on stage by the age of 10. I was one out of 5 members in a rock and roll band, and I paid out of my pocket from my company that I had, which was a landscape construction company, to record my music, to promote my events, to set up interviews and play at nightclubs and go do shows, et cetera, et cetera. I did this all because I knew that if I didn't do it, we would still be sitting in our garage playing incredible music. With my determination and drive, we recorded 2 albums. We toured extensively throughout the United States. I played with almost every top-notch 1980s metal band that was out there, hair bands. And yes, I wore spandex pants and had long hair and all that other stuff. But anyway, I wasn't waiting around to let it happen. My question for you is, are you waiting around for it to happen, or are you going to be going out there to make your own destiny? In fact, the reason why I left the music business was because no matter how hard I worked, it seemed that I still had people controlling my success. It was like a roll of the dice being in Las Vegas, and I didn't see that there was still a remote possibility that something wouldn't happen. So I put all my effort into running my construction company and then eventually opening up a martial arts school, and I was 100%, or at least 98%, in control of my own destiny. So my suggestion to you is to stop waiting around. The last two is not realizing your potential. This is a short one. I can only say that most people don't know how hard they can work. They don't know how hard what hard work is, or how far they can go in their career, because they have self-limiting beliefs, and their perception of reality is different. They're in a totally different paradigm. Most people have a threshold, and they're not willing to go beyond it. For example, I have a staff member that I just recently laid off. She had huge potential, but she never really cared to go above and beyond. She was also a black belt with me, and unfortunately, she applied the same mentality that she did in her training to her job. She was willing to be pushed only if she was 100% in agreement with the boundaries. She didn't do things that were good for her, no matter how much she knew it was or how much I pushed her. She very rarely came out of her comfort zone and very rarely went above and beyond. At one point, she even told me, now don't forget, I'm her boss, that once she had her mind made up that I knew that she wasn't going to do whatever I wanted her to do. So she said that, she asked me, why didn't I just accept that fact? And eventually I did accept that fact, and I realized that I had to fire her. So maybe I should say that she basically fired herself, but really it's all about not realizing your potential. Realize your own weaknesses and your strengths as well. Remember, you don't have to be the master of everything. You can easily sub out things that you don't like or you're uncomfortable with or you don't have the education for. Rather than ignoring them, which most people do, they sit there and they say, this is not my favorite thing. I don't like being on the phone. I don't have time for 2-4-6 week calls. I can't get this done. I can't get that done. So basically, they ignore it, and they don't get anything done. So ask yourself the question, do you have three things? I'm going to ask you to do this on your own. Do you have three things that you know you should be doing that you aren't? And no matter how important they are, you still ignore them, and then you stay stagnant. I believe the answer is that you have to pick those three things and either one, sub them out, two, hire an employee, or three, get on it. No excuses. My recommendation is get it done, write it down, and do it. Period. Okay, the last one here, before we move on, is most people have lack of energy, or they believe they have lack of energy. So with this being said, I want to give you an analogy. There are 168 hours in a week. Out of them, we sleep about 8 hours per night, and that's excessive for an adult. I get about 6.5 hours of sleep. But anyway, if you sleep 8 hours a night, that's 56 hours of sleep a week. Now, out of 168, you have 112 hours left after you're done sleeping. If we then eat and put in another 2 hours of personal hygiene and whatever else, then we do another 14 hours a week, still leaving us with 98 hours a week. Now, let's say that we spend another 2 hours per day on reading, watching TV, surfing the net, playing with our kids, relaxing a little. This is another, leaving us now with another 84 hours left. The big question is, how many of you work 84 hours per week? That's 12 hours a day, and I would have to say not many. Most people do a 40-hour work week, and that's just to get by and survive. Now, some of you who are listening may do 40 hours at another job and do another 12 or 15 hours, but remember, in order to be a success at your school, at your business, 40 hours, not 12 or 15 hours as a part-time business, or not 40 hours as a full-time business, is going to get you by. It's just you're not going to do anything but survive if you do that, eventually becoming extinct. So I say put as many hours in a day, and I've been working 14-hour days for the last 25 years, sometimes more. My question is, what are you doing? What are you spending your time on? And do you have the energy to be a success? That's the big question. Okay, enough is enough. Already you guys have heard enough on personal development, so here's our topic of the day, summer adventure camp. For most people, summer camp is something that they don't even think about. For me, I look at summer camp as the icing on the cake. During the months of summer, which is usually normally slow, people are busy with other things, this is a time that you can make a good amount of money without much effort. There are two types of camps, short-term and long-term. For example, a short-term camp could be 1 or 2 weeks only. A long-term camp could be the entire summer, 8 weeks like we're doing, and a sleepaway camp with the 9th week. So no matter what your time frame is, you could still do a camp and have a good turnout and make a high profit. Now, some pricing ideas of what I'm doing, and I'm not sure of what industry standard is, and of course, you should be doing research on your own in your area to find out what other camps that are non-martial art related are doing. But I charge $255 per week in my regular camp. This is the hours of Monday through Friday, 9 o'clock in the morning till 3:30. This is a very inexpensive camp, about $50 per day, of course. Other camps I know are anywhere as high as $400 to $500 per week, $90 to $100 per day. Of course, I like to make it affordable so that I can get more people in. It's a lot easier with more people there, so I charge a little bit less. For example, there's a karate school now in my area that is doing a camp, and their first week, I have their flyer, is $375 per week. If you sign up and pre-register, it's only a $25 discount. This was left in my daughter's mailbox at her school. So today I drop off 500 flyers to every student in my daughter's school, and our camp is only going to be $250. So we're going to blow them out of the water as far as price, and we have more availability, et cetera, et cetera. So in my in schools, we have 8 weeks of camp. We also have a sleepaway camp, and I'm going to go over that a little at the end. But our camp name is Summer Adventure Camp. Why just have a summer camp when you could have a summer adventure camp? I'm going to go into detail in a little while about the activities and the ideas, but allow me to continue with the financials. I look at camp as a way of bringing people into your school, new people that have never trained, but mostly giving a service to the parents that are in your school already. For example, we set a time and we find a staff member, and we have to realize that no matter whether we have 5 or 55 people, we have our schedule set. My goal is to sell as many people as possible, and this is why I recommend also having a day rate. Some people will only lock people in if they do the entire camp. Why not allow people to come one day out of the week if they want? You know, so what? Maybe on a Friday you'll have 30 kids, but on Thursday you'll only have 15 because Fridays are a busier day and parents would like to have their kids in your camp. Also, too, one thing to think about is why turn away those daily camp participants? Because maybe a parent works on Fridays, but during the week they're home and they want to spend time with their child, so they might send their kid on just those Fridays. So make that day rate available. And in my day rate, you know, we charge $55 or $60. We make it a little bit more expensive, but, we make it available. And also, too, in my schools, we'll sell a week to somebody because we do 8 weeks of camp, and they're allowed to pick, 5 days, and they could do maybe 5 different weeks on every Friday. But we allow them to come once a week or twice a week if they want. It's not a big deal, especially if you're paying for your staff members and they're sitting there. Now, going into a small camp analogy, I used to do 1 week at camp, and then it became 2, and then parents talked me into 4, and now I'm up to 8. But I have a friend who's a Member Solutions client. His name is John Oshlar. He does very, very well. And I also have other friends that do camps individual days. But some of these people, they run camps and they charge as much as $299. As you heard before, this one gentleman's got a camp for $375. So you could charge anywhere from $300 to $350 for the week. And the person that I know has about 80 kids that participate in that 1 week at camp. Now, at $299 times 80, the numbers are staggering. He makes about $24,000 on camp. Not a bad week's work, right? Not a bad week's work at all. So I recommend that you look at what you want to do and build the model around what camp it is. If you've never done camp, I suggest starting off with 1 week. Maybe next year go to two. Or maybe start off with 2 and that's it. My next question is, what type of camp do you want to run? My suggestion, of course, is to start off small, work your way up, and, some people have camps in their schools, summer camps, and they make a year's worth of income in only a few months. Imagine 2 months of work and making $50,000. That's incredible. That's a year's worth of income. It kind of takes off the edge of your overhead and stress. Also, we offer early drop-off and late pickup in our school. Sometimes parents are looking at the camp and saying, wow, I leave at 8, and I normally have a babysitter coming to my house, but if I could get to the camp but drop them off at 8:15, 8:30, or whatever it may be, I could do it. And then I don't get off of work until 4. Who am I going to get to pick them up? Sometimes parents will choose to go elsewhere. So you should make it available to have an early drop-off and a late pickup. Also, we charge extra for that. We don't give it away for free. Remember, parents are looking at your camp as a way to keep their kids active over the summer, but also as a way to babysit them. And I know I say babysit, and we look at that. We're not babysitters, but even if they hired a sitter or put their kid in daycare, it's going to cost them more than what you're going to charge. So make it available for them and make it easy for them to put people in your camp. And, of course, if you want a copy of my summer camp flyer, you could email me, and it's at RenshiLiNinja@AOL.com. That's RenshiLiNinja@AOL.com. Also remember, my second selfless plug is this is a part of my Taking It to the Next Level program at www.takingittothenextlevel.com. And it's all included in what we usually give out in our marketing breakdowns and so on. Let's talk about a few things real quickly. What makes your camp different than every other camp that's around you, the regular camps and, school camps, et cetera? For most, we say that the martial arts. But for some, we sell this as a way of fast-tracking our students to get into their rank, you know, put more time in, get a belt, or going one step higher and becoming more extensive in your, you know, and your training, taking it to a new heights and new levels. But for others, we look at this as nothing more than a glorified way of promoting our martial arts school. For me, I look at this as a way of not only promoting my school and making money and helping my students, but I want to, and I have, put together camps that are truly life-changing. And this is something that you want to do that the child will remember forever. So what is it that you're going to do to make your camp special? Here are some ideas that I have that we do in our school, and maybe you want to write them down, but they're also going to be released in a future email series that I'll be putting out. Number one, each week we go to the movies with our students. The movies will vary from week to week. Some people may want to know, how do we transport the kids? Normally, in my camps, at the beginning of each week, we ask for volunteers, the parents that are home, that are willing to drive, that may want to come to the movies, and that's how we normally get our kids around. But for others, my friends that are running camps that are huge with 80 or 90 students for that week, they might even rent a bus, and buses are not all that expensive. Transportation for 80 kids is tough when you're trying to do it with parents. But if you have one day that you're going to go to the movies and one day you might go to somewhere else, you might want to rent a bus, and they're really not all that expensive, especially if you have 80 kids, you're making a high profit. Number two, each week we go to the pool. We find a local town pool, or I used to bring kids to my house and to my built-in pool, but of course be careful with that kind of stuff because you have insurance and liability. So I recommend the town pool. Again, we transport the same way, but you could take a day event and go to the pool. It'll kill 5 hours or 4 hours of your time. They eat lunch there, then you come home, and then you do some other stuff at the school. Number three, we also take time and do outside training sessions. Go to a local park. I happen to be lucky because I own my building and I have a playground with a large piece of property, complete with monkey bars, a basketball court, and we do tons of outside activities. We also eat lunch under our very own gazebo, so it's gorgeous. But for those of you who don't have that, go to a local park. You may even want to meet at the park and have parents drop off there so that you have one drop off, and then all you have to do is find rides for them on the way home. Another idea is we plan at least one special event each week. Now, this could be a daunting task if you're doing 8 weeks of camp, but it's not as hard as it appears if you're organized. And here are a list of things that I've done or we're going to do and that we've had in our schools. We've had a Secret Service agent, complete with a slide presentation. He opened up. He's a presidential bodyguard. He's one of the dads in our school, and he was gracious enough to share with us all the different things that a Secret Service agent does. He brought in a bag of shredded counterfeit $1 million. He showed us what money looks like when it's counterfeit. He showed us the presidential limousine photos, et cetera, et cetera. We've done other things like going to the police department or having the police come in and the fire department come in. Normally, that's an easy one because they'll send a volunteer. We've even had in the canine patrol complete with their dogs, and this was a cool one that I really, really enjoyed. You get to see them in action. They had a kid hold a cell phone, and then they hid the cell phone, and the dog tracked it down. It was awesome. We've had trips to the police headquarters in my area where all the kids got a tour of the police department. They got fingerprinted. They were put in the prison cell. We've gone to an arboretum, which is a park in my area, which had Japanese gardens and ponds. We've taken kids to the beach, car shows, local businesses. This is a cool one. Go to a local business like a Home Depot or a Kohl's or, you know, whatever, supermarkets and so on, and they'll put together a little tour for you for free. Most of the time, they have a specialist within their store that does this, and they won't even charge you a penny, and the kids will come home with different gifts. See, the idea is to keep them busy with different activities so they're not just sitting in the school and bored to death. I think also, too, we've done paintball, we've done laser tag, we've taken them on hikes, we've gone canoeing. The list goes on and on. Just put your thinking cap on and find out where would you like to go. Ask yourself the question, where would you like to go if you were a kid? Or ask some of the kids in your school as a way of promoting, what would you like to do if you came to our summer camp? What would you like to see? What would you like to be involved with? And maybe that'll be a way for you to open up conversation for your camp. Another thing to think about, of course, is liability. You need to, and make sure of, having a waiver of liability. You might have that already when they sign up in your school, but I would have them sign an additional one on the camp. I want to ramble a little bit about this because I hope you could listen to this and see that and take notes that it's important. You know, once once it's released, and you know, you have to make sure that you're going to go out of your way to find out whether the kids have, you know, a food allergy, whether they have restrictions on certain movies, whether the family will allow PG or PG-13, if they're allergic to, you know, whatever, they don't eat seafood. These are all things that you should know. You should also clear with the parents what their expectations are. Because sometimes we start off in my school with the morning movie, and I've had a few parents that were a little upset about that because they didn't want their kids watching TVs. They wanted their minds to be stimulated. Although we would do it throughout the rest of the day, I totally understood they weren't paying to have their kids just go from their house to some other house and just sit in, or school, and sit in a room. Also, it's interesting that you should ask the parent to write a little paragraph about their kids so that you know what type of child they are. You may want to ask them, you know, and each parent to fill out an application of what their child is like in a quiet moment. You know, we may think that we know those kids by having them for 1 hour per day, a few days a week in our school, but after 5 hours, a kid could go from a fairy princess to a killer. So we want to know how a parent handles their timeouts, how they, you know, if they have special instructions on how they believe they should discipline, or how they believe that they don't discipline at all, that's why they're such bad kids. I'm just kidding, of course. On another note, we also we tell the kids during the week to bring money for, you know, additional snacks if we go to the movies or we go to the park. We pay for the admission to the movies or the park, but we ask them to bring, you know, a little bit of snack money. We also have them bring their lunch 4 out of the 5 days, so if they have their own food and we don't have to foot the bill. On the 5th day, at that point, we then will pay for, you know, the movie or lunch and pizza or whatever. Here's also an idea that you could think about, and I've been moving real, real quickly. But you know what, before I do that, let me open up the phone before I go on to my final summer adventure camp thing. And Kathy, maybe we could open up the lines if there are any questions at this point before I move on, so that we could answer those questions and get them out of the way, whether it be on the net or in person.
Okay, I should have the phone lines unmuted. Let me try one more time. I didn't hear the tone work.
Okay, does anyone
there
have
we go.
Any questions online at all, guys and girls out there, ladies and gentlemen? No? Okay, any online, Kat?
Yes, we have several online. John from Houston has some. One is, do you use a special contract and disclaimer to let people know that you're not a certified daycare for the summer camps? And do the students and parents sign a special permission slip to participate in events and activities?
Yes, that's yes and yes. I mean, I'm not sure the area as far as, you know, whatever area you're in, you may have to fit into a different category. I believe that if it's just a summer camp, in my area, we don't need to have a daycare or day camp kind of special permit, but I would check into it because you don't want to be engaged in it and then be shut down. So my recommendation is to ask the local town. On another note, don't give them all your information because you might open up a can of worms. Call up and inquire, but don't give them information so they can say, oh, by the way, now we're going to come and look at your camp. So don't tell them who you are until you find out the information. That I found that sometimes you open up a can of worms that way. The second thing is I do, and I was saying that before, that they should have a liability waiver signed and they should tell you specifically on what they could do and what places you want them to go, make sure it's okay with them, that they're going to go to the pool, that they're going to go see Monsters, Inc. or, you know, whatever movie is out, because sometimes I know as a dad, and I have a 9.5-year-old daughter, there are certain movies that I just don't want her to see. Just recently she was with her uncle and she went to a movie called Liar Liar, or Yes Man it was actually, and that was with Jim Carrey, and it was just not a movie that I wanted my 9-year-old to see, and I freaked out. But anyway, I would definitely have them fill out that liability waiver. We have it on our sign-up sheet, and people will tell us, you know, whether they have all those food allergies. You should include that little quiet moment of what their kid is like and what we should be expecting and when they get tired and how they react and how they want us to perform timeouts, if they're bad, et cetera, et cetera. So did that answer that question?
Yes, it sure did.
Okay,
another one is, another question is, what's the ratio of camper to adults that you feel is best?
I believe that with one instructor and one assistant to help out, that you could do as many as 30 kids. I mean, a classroom, a school classroom in public school is usually, I believe, 23 to 1 now. So with that ratio, if they bring on any more people, they have to add a helper. So if you have yourself and a helper or a black belt and a helper, you could easily do 30 kids without a problem. That's my, and it depends on the quality of the instructor and how much control they have over a classroom. I know that if I ran a camp, I could do 70 kids by myself. I would like to have one helper, but again, you have to look at what the parents are going to see. When they see more kids, they think that their kids are getting lost in the cracks, so we don't want that to happen. We want to give the perception that we should be, of course, you know, controlling our room and making sure. But, you know, we run martial arts schools, a different discipline than like a daycare or one of those other centers where they don't have that organization and that, you know, systematic kind of approach and the bows and the lines and et cetera, et cetera. So I say 30 students to every one instructor and assistant.
Okay, and what age do you consider hiring somebody, you know, somebody if you're older, they're older teenagers to help?
Okay, I like to, depending, of course, on the kid, but, of course, you know, any type of hiring, I believe in the United States, is 16 for working papers, right? So that's something that you have to be careful of. When you're hiring and paying someone, they have to be 16 years and older. I'm not sure if it varies in any states or areas, but I know that in New York, in order to get working papers and be paid, they have to be 16. Now, with that being said, there are some guidelines with barter as well. You can't, like, have a kid work and then barter tuition or give them a present, and because that's considered pay as well. But you can, for free, ask some of your team leaders to come in, and you know, you could work out something, wink, wink, of course, with the parents that, you know, they come in and they help, and they could come to the camp for free. We have a lot of those people that do that. And then you're not paying them, and it's just a wash, and I don't think, but I'm not an expert, and I recommend that you check this out, that it isn't a problem with labor laws or anything like that. But I would definitely verify you're in your area.
Okay, and are there any books that you can suggest for helping with summer camp?
Well, not specifically, but I'm sure there are some systems out there with just summer camp information. I do recommend one of the greatest martial art books ever written is called Martial Art Business 101, and Who Y'all Live in the Dream by Ali Alberigo. So I recommend that book.
Really? I'm shocked.
but anyway, I talk a little bit about camps and a lot of different special event stuff, but it is a great book. And I was going to talk about that at the end, so thank you for letting me segue into that. But I don't know, Kathy, do you know of any specific packages that are available that are just on summer camps? I'm sure they're out there.
Well, actually, it's not going to be a package, but Member Solutions, we almost have a nice splash page done for all of our clients where we've pulled a lot of our past summer material on there, including one of your other teleseminars that you've done, Allie. It's going to be ready probably by Monday. So if you guys are logging into your Member Solutions account next week, on the welcome page, you'll see a banner that you can go to a special camp splash page. And what will be on there will be a combination of things. There'll be summer camp, how to do summer camp from A to Z. There will be some summer marketing pieces, both for camp as well as like a summer special. And there'll be about 6 or 7 teleseminars, including one from you, Allie, on how to have a profitable summer planning, you know, by 7 different people. So it'll be really extensive. So I would say that's about all they would need after hearing this today. And, you
that's
know,
awesome.
Get your book and it'll be set.
Yeah, that's great. So now, any other questions?
There was a general question about when this podcast is available for download, and I can answer that. At the end of the month, we edit all of these teleseminars and upload them into our online teleseminar library that you have access to as a client. Today, I will probably leave this link open. If you want to hear the unedited version for the rest of today, you can probably still use the same link and download it today.
Wow. Okay, cool. Very good. So now I'll move on, and then we'll ask you know, some more questions at the very end. We've already, amazingly enough, been in 40 minutes into this call. So here's an idea that maybe you've thought of, but I've been doing with incredible success for the last 18 years. And my camp is topped off at the end of my 8 weeks. The final week was what we call our sleepaway camp. Now, before you shut me down, because this might not be in your frame of reference, just listen and hear me out, and then we'll talk about ways that you could possibly spin this into something you could do. Anyway, this has always been a huge hit. We have anywhere from 15 to 30 kids at our sleepaway camp, which we charge about $299 for. well, we don't charge about. We charge $299. This is not an easy endeavor. It's very labor-intensive. But I'm lucky because I own my own 20-acre ranch tucked up into the mountains of Ellenville, New York, upstate New York. And the kids sleep in my very own private house. It's a little ranch house that I renovated, tucked up in the mountainside. The kids sleep in their sleeping bags, and they're all over the floors of the house, and we have a blast. You know, the biggest expense for me, of course, is food, because I do include the food throughout the week. It's only a four-day camp, not five, because by the fifth day I want to shoot myself. So on the fourth day, they come in, but we cook most of our foods in the house, make spaghetti dinners. We do some barbecuing. One or two days at night, we'll go out to the pizza parlor and the Chinese place around the corner. We do one movie trip, and we've even gone over to one of our own MSI, Member Solutions clients, dojos that's right near my, maybe about 45 minutes from an hour from my school. His name is Anthony Quattrochi, and he's one of my next-level clients and doing incredibly well. But we brought all our students there 1 year, and he allowed them to train in his school. So we did kind of like a, you know, special visit. He taught a class, and they trained with his students, and it was a great time. So, Anthony, if you're listening, thank you for that, if you hear this. But that was the one thing. You could go and you do these special events. At night, we have campfires where we roast marshmallows. We do cookouts. We go to hike. We do we shoot archery. We do all sorts of cool outdoorsman stuff. We make walking sticks. We learn how to do emergency first aid. It is, by far, one of the coolest 4 days of our summer, Monday through Thursday. Now, get this, too. The parents normally bring their kids up to Ellenville from Long Island. They drop them off, and they pick them up at the end of the camp on Thursday. Right around 2 o'clock is pickup. And for those that can't get rides, we try to coordinate carpools with other parents, et cetera, et cetera. And this could be anywhere from a $1,500 to a $10,000 week. Now, you may be saying, well, stop bragging, Allie. I'm tired of hearing it. I don't have a 20-acre ranch, blah, 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 right? Because I could talk and ramble and so on. But anyway, the point being is that you could still do something similar to this very easily. Before I owned my own ranch, my house upstate, I bought this with the specific idea because I started this kind of camping trip back in 1991, and I would drive all my students up to Lake George. Lake George is a gorgeous lake. If you don't know about it, you're from out of the state. And there's this whole network of small islands in the middle of Lake George that you could rent and you could camp on. And you pay per camping spot, like you know, a regular plot of area. So I would book like 15 or 20 of them and take a whole entire section, or if not, the whole entire island. I'd book it a year in advance because it got booked up real quick. And then I would rent a boat. And I would boat people over all day long and then leave them on the island and then keep our boat. And that was our only way on and off. They had their food. They had their tents. We would train. We would camp. We would meditate. We would swim in the lake. Anyway, I said to myself, wow, I used to rent the boat and it would cost me $2,000-$3,000 to get people back and forth. I said, wow, I could take that $3,000 and I could buy a house with that, you know, and I'd buy a house and, you know, that would be a mortgage payment, you know, $500-$700 a month throughout the year. And the money that I was making on my camp, I turned that into a mortgage payment, and I was able to buy a house with it. Anyway, it doesn't matter whether you're in Lake George or if you have another group of islands by where you live or there's a camping facility. You could take your people and easily go rent a campground for 4 days. The first day basically is getting there and setting up. It's settling in. It's not a great deal of work. It's not a great deal of activities. The next 2 days are fun. You know, fun hiking, campfire stories, you know, martial arts skills. Me, we do shuriken, we do archery, we do blowgun, we do throwing knives and spikes. We do paintball games. In my camp that I do, which is in September, we do firearms, tactical firearms training. By the way, all martial arts schools and instructors are welcome to come. We've had a few other people come to our camp from Member Solutions and have a blast. But anyway, you're going to basically go out there and you're going to make this camp up. It doesn't even have to be during the week. It could be a Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. Normally, you could charge anywhere from $129 for 2 or 3 days, and you could go up as high as, you know, $400, you know, for the whole week. And basically, why not just have your own little, which we call our ninja retreat? I do this every 2 times a year, but you could do it once, and it could be one of the most outrageously fun outdoor training sessions. It could be the highlight of your year, where everyone just gets together, families bring their kids, you can have a small portion of the camp for little ones, you can have, you know, a whole, and make it a really unbelievably great day that you can, and turn it into something that's what we would consider, one, retention, two, energy and enthusiasm, and, you know, and something out of the norm, which of course goes back to retention, and highly profitable. And when I say highly profitable, you have to ask yourself, what would you be happy making in a week? $2,000 bucks? If that's the case, having fun going camping with your own family and making $2,000 profit, I look at that as a win-win. Up to you. So that was one of my thoughts, and that's what we call our summer adventure camp. We go into a place called the Ice Caves by my house. We hike. We hang out. I've even thought of bringing in people that are like survival experts, maybe even an American Indian tracker, where they're going to come in and show us how to track. In my end-of-year retreat, we bring in Randy Weekly from Colorado. He owns a tactical firearms camp, and he comes out and he teaches my guys strategy. Sometimes we use sticks as pretend guns, and we work on team strategies, how to protect each other, how to work through formation, how to work as a team. We do team-building exercises. Anyway, this end weekend camp could be amazing for you, and this is what I highly recommend. And the last thought on, and it just came into my head right now, on your daily camp, there are many of those adventure camp, one-day camps in different areas where you could do the trapeze work and the rope climbing and all that stuff, and you can maybe take your students to those kind of camps as well and do a one-day event at one of those kind of things. So anyway, we're into our seminar at 45 minutes. I want to just see if there are any more questions. Then I'll just go a little bit more into our closing, and then we'll get done. But this is this is something that I think that we could all turn into a huge profit center and a retention tool for our schools. So let's open up the lines one more time.
Okay, just open the phone lines. Is there anybody on the phone that has a question?
The phone people are always so quiet, aren't they?
They are.
How about any other on the internet?
Let me see if any more came in. No, there are no more on the internet at this time. Okay. I think you did a really good job answering all the ones
nope.
I had before.
No problem. Well, then I'm going to finalize by, I wanted to clarify with most people the four categories of students in our school, or the four business categories. Like when my program manager comes to me and says, I'm stuck, this is what I normally tell them. There are four areas of concentration in a martial arts school. If you have these four areas covered, and of course each area may have a subcategory, but the first one is always going to be new students in your school. If you have a school and you're not focused every single day on student generation, eventually you're going to be out of business. Now, I could see this because I've had schools. I mean, I very rarely have ever considered, and I want to say the word failure, at running a martial arts school. Most schools I've either closed down by choice or I didn't have the right players, or sometimes when I had out-of-state or out-of-country schools, I just didn't want to travel to them anymore because I wanted to be with my family. But one determining factor that I see in all of my consulting, that if a school is not focused on the number one priority, new students, then they're not going to be able to stay in business. New students, how do we get them? Where do they come from? If every day your mind is not churning up ideas, and I tell my program managers this too, there's no excuse for not getting people through the door. The only excuse is laziness. So that's what we have to think about. How do we get new students? PTA groups, baseball teams, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Cub Scouts, free parties, free birthday parties, dealing with the school systems, of course, has always been the one that everyone talks about. You know, making sure that you're calling up your trial classes and you're not giving up if they don't show up, that you're continually following up, building your internet, making sure that you're getting leads off your website and you're trapping the emails and you're following up with offers throughout, sending them news and information, putting them on your mailing list, putting them on your database, et cetera, et cetera. There are a billion things, and if you ever want, you could email me. I'll give you a list of, 100 ways to generate new students. But the first step, new students. The second step, retention of old students or existing students. Retention. You know, how are we going to keep these people training in our school? Just today, I met with one of my elite clients, and I spoke with them on the phone. We do a 45-minute to a one-hour call one time a week, and we looked at their stats, and it was quite amazing to see, after reviewing the last 6 months of stats, how many people had left and what category they were in, how old they were, and these people are amazing. When I first met them 2.5 years ago, we really didn't keep many stats. Now, they're masters at stats. I could ask them a question, they could say, hold on 1 second, and 3 minutes later, they'll have an answer for me. So anyway, we looked at it, and it turned out that all of their little dragons, 3 to 5 year olds, were leaving within the first 3 month period. The ones that quit were leaving within the first 3 month period. Then we noticed that within the 3 to 6 months on the teen group and then on the adult group, it was similar, beginner to like orange belt. So we started thinking of how we're going to coddle our way through. For example, and take this real seriously because this is a very, very, very important thing, is that if you have, let's pretend that you have in the little warrior category, 3 to 5 year olds, and a good majority of them who had left, maybe 10 of them, they left within the first 3 months. Now we have to ask ourselves two things, and most other consultants, because I really hate a lot of the consultants that are saying this, not the consultants themselves, but they're saying this, just let's advertise more and get more people in. My goal is not to do that because that's like throwing money into the wind. I would rather see why these people are leaving and then find out what we can do to make them stay. So what we came up with today, my client and I, is that why don't we take and coddle those people, those first 3 months, which is the most volatile of times, and coddle them, not coddle them and just baby them, but I mean educating them with information, making sure that they're tied into the program, making sure they realize the benefits, giving them a gift here and there, maybe that book by Solomon Brenner, who's a friend of mine, who has his book called Black Belt Parenting. Buy them from Solomon. They're like $20 or $18, and give it out to a parent, because that $20 would be the best $20 you've ever invested. You know, educate them on why this program is so important, but every single week for the first 3 months, the most volatile of months, nurture them along the way. And even if you spent $150 on books and gifts and calls and time, et cetera, now you're going to convert that much more of those people into regular programs. And now, of course, don't give up on them after you got them signed into a long-term program. We have to look at all of our students as to what is the system, what is the idea, what are the steps to keep them active and training. Sometimes we believe that just by teaching a dynamic class, and that's it, is going to be the only thing. But we need to keep realigning goals, et cetera, et cetera. So if you want, you can always email me. I'll give you a whole bunch of ideas. Or I would recommend setting up a one-on-one call through Member Solutions, and I can go over a lot of this stuff with you. Number three basically is upgrades and renewals. The people who are coming up to renew, their yearly agreement expired, their two-year membership, or whatever it may be, making sure you're on top of those, but not after or close to when they're going to expire, but at the you know, 3 or 4 month period earlier. You know, when I finally paid off my Viper, I was counting down the day. You know, like I wrote down 12 payments left, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And you know what? The Viper people, the dealership, probably should have been on me 12 months in trying to convert me into a new car. Maybe they could have. I doubt they would have, but maybe they could have talked me into upgrading. You know, maybe exotic dealerships would have probably been smarter to buy all the people who are ending their loans, the ones that have the money, and try to convert them over to a more exotic, a Ferrari or Lamborghini or whatever the case may be. But they all dropped the ball because when I was counting down was the time to sell me. Once I'm finished, now my payment's done, I eliminated that $1,100 payment a month. I don't want it anymore. So I'm very cautious about going into another vehicle because why do I have to? So anyway, we need to talk about that. We want to talk about renewals. What's the system? Do you start making goal-setting appointments before 6 months out to realign their goals? Do you then talk to them every 2 months or every month to make sure they're happy? Do we make sure that we follow them with the ABC schedule, finding out who are our A students, who are our B students, who are our C students? And then we talk about, you know, that number three category is, you know, renewals, and the second one is upgrades. Every time someone is coming up for renewal is a possible opportunity to upgrade them. Now, the great thing is you could talk about upgrades 6 months out and renew their agreement way sooner because you want to get them into whatever programs. I'm holding up my hands, doing the quote fingers, Black Belt Club, Masters Elite, Team Leadership, Character Development, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so first category, new students, always constantly churning for new students. Two, retention. Always, always, always retaining those students, doing things that are going to make them happy, aligning yourself with the parents and their goals, re-communicating the initial reason why they started, making sure they're staying on track of growing and achieving those goals, and keeping them engaged in the program. Number three, upgrades and renewals. upgrading your students, renewing your students, starting earlier. And the fourth and final one, this one is important, is special events and retail. Very much overlooked in our business. Basically, you should have every 2 months at least a special event. Every single month, some sort of special on retail. You should definitely tie your retail into your curriculum if possible. In other words, in my school, at white belt level, they have to get fighting gear. At yellow belt, they buy a bow and a sai. At green belt, they get a cane, a boken, which is the wooden sword, and a hanbo, a short stick. At, you know, blue, another thing, purple, another thing, black, brown, another, a black belt, another. So you should tie in certain things to your curriculum. And then you don't have to have a martial arts superstore. I have a 900-square-foot facility, which is just for martial arts supplies, that I sell retail and wholesale to all the industry and martial art people all over the world. In fact, we just got an order from Thailand today to buy some stuff. So, but anyway, you don't need to carry an inventory and stock a lot of merchandise. We just, on the Christmas holiday, put a clipboard out with a photo of a jacket with our logo on the back of it, and we sold 39 jackets in one location with our logo on it without even stocking one piece of inventory. Now, if we made just, you know, I don't know, I'm just guessing, 40 jackets, $40, you know, you're looking at a $1,600 profit. $1,600 because we had a clipboard. And then once we got the orders and the deposits, we went out and bought the material, no money out of our pocket, no inventory stuck in our closets, et cetera, et cetera. And then special events. You need to do special events, and you need to think of your special events in categories. Number one, 3 to 5-year-olds, whatever we call them, little ninja, little dragon, whatever. And then you want to think of the second category, 5 to 8-year-olds, what do they like to do? And then you think of the teens, what do they like to do, and what do the adults like to do? So you have potentially four different special events. My biggest thing is I talk to people, and they tell me they did one special event, and it didn't really go over that well. Well, maybe that event only appeals to a small marketplace in your school. So let's say you did a Star Wars dress-up event. There's very small amount of people out of the adult and teen category. Although Star Wars is pretty big, and we've had adults come to the Star Wars party dressing up like, you know, whatever, and but you have a small, so if you're marketing an event, you have to ask yourself, what group can you market that to? At that point, then you'll know that you have 40 potential people that might want to go to that event. If you get 20, 25, you did good, 50 to 60%, right? So you want to know what your category is in running 4 different special events. Anyway, number 1, new students. Number 2, retention. Number 3, upgrades and renewals. Number 4, special events and retail. And if you could plug those all into your school, you're going to have a hit. And you're going to be making huge profits. This is a little sample of what I'm going to be doing at the seminar in Las Vegas this year. And that's really about it. So, Kathy, in closing, let me ask one last time, any final questions before I close up?
No, Allie, no final questions.
Awesome. So I thank everybody. And in closing, I'd like to make people aware, of course, that my book, you know, Martial Art Business 101, 300 pages is still available, and I also have my DVDs that I think I've forgotten to promote in a long time, my business, my 101 drills, and also my martial art professional DVD, and my success strategies DVD, and actually I filmed that at one of the Member Solutions seminars. And if you're interested, of course, I have my online site, which a lot of clients are doing well with, called takingittothenextlevel.com, and I hope that if you're interested, and you want to sign up, if you sign up for the first month, I'll throw in a DVD of choice and my book, which is worth $100 in value. And it's helped many Member Solutions clients quadruple their income and improve their retention and professionalize their business. And, of course, I'm also available, which Member Solutions has, I believe, still on there on hold for the elite consulting that if you guys want me to do any type of, you know, week-to-week or bi-monthly type of consulting, that's available, very affordable, and almost a money-back guarantee on that. And if you also have questions, do not hesitate to email me. My email is renshi.ninja@aol.com on any portion of this seminar, and if I have support information, I'll email it to you. Or you could call me on my cell phone. It's 631-374-6518. That's my personal cell phone, and I have no problem. If I'm too busy, something's going on, I'm out on a date, I'll tell you that I have to call you back. But if not, I'm going to be there with you and help you out. And that's part of what I do for Member Solutions and a part of our service that we provide for you at Member Solutions. And, again, thank you very much for being on the call today, and to I hope that you guys will have a successful May and the rest of the year, and I want to say goodbye, and of course, take your business to the next level.